up there on the about 8. It's a long ways away. I think is in the history of this church. Obviously, you have Sunday morning ministries. What other days of the week did you guys ever use? Did you ever do things on? What did you guys do on Wednesday night? Sunday night at the movies. Particular movies? Home movies or what kind of, just Sound of Music type stuff, huh? Bible stuff. Did that on Sunday night? Did you ever have a Sunday night service? So historically, way back to 1986, it's been pretty much a Sunday morning thing. And then Wednesday, like you say, for the... You know, how long did the movie thing last? 1 week? Sorry. The fact of how far it is from your homes here. Back when Pastor Chiwili was here, you didn't have Sunday night service when Pastor Chiwili was here. Shirley knows you got no Sunday night service when Pastor Cross was here. No. That was it, huh? Yeah. I'm waiting for Nadine. She does so much that I just can't go ahead without her. She should be here within moments. Does anybody think that? Harry's gone. Okay. One of the goals this afternoon is just for us to realize that we need to pray that the Lord works with we who are here and sends us others. And one of the ways we can even see our leadership thing is by having a meeting. Now, we know Everett's in the hospital and he couldn't be here. Conceivably, if Everett was out with this kind of weather, he might not be here anyhow with really tough walking. I really salute his efforts to come out. You know, Pastor Harry, and what would you say, Deanna, about your father and mother's situation? We know that he would love to be right here, but he's not here because of what? What would you say? Yeah, that's... The other side of it is that when, from my witnessing what's going on, when she's not around, when Harry's not around, it's not just like you can substitute somebody else in that situation. So we have two of our longtime leaders that are not here for that reason. We understand that. And we understand that... Almost like a football team, you can't just replace somebody with somebody else. They, whoever and whatever they are, you can't say, okay, let's get somebody else and plug in that. Actually, in churches, in fellowships, you kind of go with who you have, who God has brought to you, and that's why church life sometimes will change. Church programs change. Church outreaches change, because in the fullness of time, things change within a church. And, boy, who's been here besides you all from the beginning, Shirley. Bonnie is somebody that Joyce and I mean, are you the two that have been here forever, huh? Like I'm talking forever since I need that, yeah. Oh, then 1986, I think. I remember being up at Calvary, and I was actually, Harry called me up and said they asked me if I want to go out and help them start a 501c, and we talked a little bit, and then he went, and then you've heard me say how proud I am that I was on that section over there. I actually came out one day and helped stand up a wall. That's as mechanical as I am. We had several of us. I think we had four pastors at Calvary at the time. We all came over, and they said, up! We lifted it up, and they put it in place, and we drove away, had coffee. That was about all we could do, but that's all I could do in terms of mechanical ability. 1986, and then this addition was put on in 1996, Bill? Okay. I got a good look at this addition when I was painting out there, but it's amazing things what you can tell by looking at it as a painter. Most time, nobody looks at a building closer than a painter, at what he's doing. He's hoping nobody else looks close again. So I really like it when the lights are off out there in the hallway, what I've done. Taylor and I, we went at it, and I wish I had long arms as long as Taylor, but we've got a couple sections yet to turn green. I think I'll be out Monday. If you have painting in your background, and you don't mind me looking at your work, you're sure welcome to come. If you do mind me looking at your work and you don't have painting in your background, God bless you. Probably not do it, because how many of you spent a lot of time redoing things that somebody with a good heart wanted to do for you? And was David? They had a good heart, but then you had to go back. Okay, well that's what we're doing. I will wait 1 minute longer for Nadine, and then we will start. I should have had Taylor take. Who did she take home? Her grandchild? Yeah. Oh, so maybe it wouldn't have worked. Okay. Okay. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, and they are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Say, well, you just picked that one out because it's a good one. Like, yeah, that's right. That's why I picked it out. Because I believe that is what the Lord wants to do for every Christian fellowship. Doesn't play favorites, and I believe he wants to do that for our lives as well. Deanna, would you just ask the Lord to bless our time just for a minute, and then we'll get with this, and you guys can get home and get ready. Amen. Here it is. This is the something that's been floating around. This is the original building, that right? And the it is service of dedication, November 20th, 1988. And the members of the administration, blah, 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 they are here. And you see the building before this was put on. The concept of any leadership, unless you actually start the church, is that you are terribly in debt to those who have gone before you. And if you can't absorb that and feel that and express that, there's a real problem. Can you think of all the effort that has gone into? I think about it when I drive up on there and I looked out on this facility. Can you think of all the sacrifice and all the effort that has been made to bring us to this spot right now? The hours and hours and money and finances, dedication, amazing. I know that you know the obvious, and that is that this fellowship has been assailed. That's what I call it from my perspective, and we are working our way through it. And like I said this morning, Eli, thank you. Like I said this morning, sometimes some horrible things have happened in our lives, and you just think, well, how in the world and why in the world? And out of it can come some wonderful things. And I don't mean to know or even suggest that I know why some of the heartache has come to this church in the last 10 years. But I believe with all my heart, if for nothing else, we are again returned to this position that our dependence is on the Holy Spirit, that our strength is in the Holy Spirit in us as we work together, we bond together. If nothing else, we just ride ourselves. You know, these kayaks where I don't know how they do it. Anybody a kayak person here? Where you see them paddling, and then 1 minute they're upside down and they're out of water, and then poop, they come back up. So we just need to come back up and take a deep breath. Amen? Amen. I was getting my little calendar out and from somebody, some Dayspring. I looked at that and I read this thing. I thought, that's interesting. It says, just think, you're not here by chance, but by God's choosing. His hand formed you and made you the person you are. He compares you to no one else. You are one of a kind. You lack nothing that His grace can't give you. He has allowed you to be here at this time in history to fulfill His special purposes for this generation. And I thought, I read that? I thought, you're talking to me? Well, whether you're not or not, I cut it out and I saved it. I believe that totally. You are not here this afternoon by accident. Don't believe that, no more than the man in the moon. Those that have been here forever, those that have been here for a while, like lasagna, we have layers here of different people. Those that have just arrived and are arriving, I don't believe it's at all by accident. I'm going to hand you these to take with you when you go. I just want to read through first. You say, well, why don't you give us one? Because I know how it works. There are people reading all way ahead of me. All we want to do today is to touch a couple bases on some very fundamental, simple things, make sure that we are all in the same key. So our meeting today is for our present leadership and developing leadership that God may have brought us. We're sharing the vision, the good news, and the vision is that we have as a fellowship is that we are sharing good news and building fellowship in the valley. Yes, I know everybody wants to share the good news, but our good news, we really want to take a look at the Word of God, and we really want to reach out and extend a hand of mercy and grace to a very hurting world and be very gracious people. Building fellowship in the valley is not only necessary, it is the Lord's will for all. Well, in the valley, for us, we who are here, but it's the Lord's will that we build fellowship. In our own fellowship, I hardly ever will call this a church because the building is a facility. The church is what? The people. And really, the church in Belt is what? It's the whole church. It's the believers down in the Catholic Church. It's those who used to sit in these chairs that are down at the, what, Senior Citizen Center? Where they meet? Nobody knows where they're meeting, huh? Where are they meeting? Nobody knows? Okay, this would have been a good story if you guys had known where they're meeting. They're meeting somewhere. Yeah, okay, the Methodist Church, those that are a part of the body of Christ, they are the church. And so we have it in our hearts to want to build fellowship within this facility, within this fellowship, and within the valley. Steps to successfully walk and live in the vision then, which the vision is, I don't know what we're doing at that church. It just seems to be, no, we're not. No, it's not confusion. Sharing the good news is what we're doing, building fellowship. We're building, building, building. We're not tearing down or separating ourselves or isolating ourselves. We're building, building, building. We're building with our community. We're building with the other Christian people. We are building in here. It's not confusion. We are not confused what we're doing. Steps to successfully walk and live in the vision for our fellowship. Number one, strengthening leadership. Leadership is God's action plan for life, liberty, growth, and health within the local fellowship. Most everybody, to one degree or another, is soon a leader of somebody or something within a local fellowship. How many deep down inside say, I don't want to be a leader? Well, I didn't want to be either, but I wanted to get some things accomplished. And I found out that looked like in my life that if I didn't get out and take a step forward, it wasn't going to happen. In a fellowship like this, it's almost instantaneous that everybody, to one degree or another, is soon leading somebody or something within the fellowship. And without leadership, you tell me, what happens to a fellowship without leadership? Somebody, tell me. Falls apart, fails, those, the F words, huh? You guys are giving me the F words, that falls apart and fails both. It's not good. It can usually last for a while, because there's the other, the third F word is facade. You can have a facade that everything is fine. Facades in fellowship do last for a while. Everything is going good. It must be going good. Everything is going good. Must be going good. Like a car that's running out of gas. You're going along fine. You have the car of the world until all of a sudden you are out of gas. You didn't look down. The other day I had to call up Taylor. I said, Taylor, I'm going out. He was here. I said, but I forgot to check my gauge. You know what I'm talking about? He says, well, go back to town. I said, I'm not doing that. I'm driving out there. I said, come get me if I call you again. Everything's going fine until you run out of gas. The facade can be in place of a fellowship without leadership. But it takes just a matter of time before it does fall apart. Gotta have leadership, not leadership that is ground out by efforts of the flesh. I'm not trying to be Robbins or whatever his leadership sort of fellow, trying to be the latest in leadership. I know what it takes to be in leadership in the church. You need the gifts that God gives you. You don't go out and find them. God gives the gifts. You recognize them and release them. Amen? Amen. That's the truth. I'll be my own amen corner. You don't design, a pastor doesn't design, and I know they're doing this now, but through demographics, they're saying, what kind of church do we want? I understand that, but that's just not God's will. I'm sorry. That's not God. Let God design your church. Open your doors, project your ministry, and who God wants to come to your fellowship, he will bring. That's real. Thank you. Okay. That's really the strength of a fellowship. When you start to create, you have a game plan, and this is what we want to be. Well, God is an evolving revealer of his plans. I believe that. I've seen that in the fellowships I've been involved with. Okay. God's plan for leaders within a Christian fellowship is for leaders to humbly embrace the spirit and joy of a servant. Oh! And not a star. Whew! God, you don't mean that. I do mean that. I do mean that. The fellowship of Jesus Christ is not the place for stars. Stars. No, this is the place for servants. Not just photo op servants, like when you make sure everybody knows what you did, when you did it, and make sure everybody... We all do that a little bit. We can't help it. Sometimes we drop it out. Like, yeah, I was here at 6 this morning. Matt said, it didn't count because Don beat us. Well, okay. But even that can be a facade. If your heart isn't to be a servant, it shows up before long because you peter out this quick. There's not enough stroking. If your heart's to be a star, probably not going to happen at Belt Community Church. Probably not going to happen. Probably not. However, we get this camera, you may be the face of tomorrow around the world. No. If you are, as God calls you and moves you forward in leadership, you will feel, every last one of us will feel the knock-knock of the Holy Spirit of God about this servant's heart. You will feel that. That's what maintains you. That's what keeps you going. It's not even the stroking or God help us if a pastor or somebody in church life is doing it for money. God deliver them. Yeah. Money will not get it done in the ministry. It doesn't sustain. But what does sustain is the joy of being a servant. So what I pray and what we all pray, God send us, God develop us, we who are here, you who may be sending in, send us men and women, boys and girls with a servant's heart. Whew. Without it, it's sickening, disgusting, weak, pathetic, juvenile, divisive. And it chases the presence of the Holy Spirit out the door, because there is only one to whom worship is supposed to be going. And that's not the pastors or the musicians. We are to be sending the worship to the Lord. And when the Lord detects and the Lord figures out, he's usually not too slow figuring things out. Amen? He's usually pretty sharp when he detects that we're doing what we're doing for our sake and not his. You think lightning falls? No. He just kind of backs out. And you have the form. You have the form without the power of the Holy Spirit. Honestly caring in Christ's love for one another while avoiding, as I said, our photo op performance. Our fellowship has been blessed with wonderful leadership since the beginning days of 1986. Would love to go into that, because I believe in giving honor to whom honor's due. That's why that fire and faithfulness is up there, because I believe when you honor somebody, as Harry and Joyce have been honored, you are, in effect, honoring God. Say, I don't think. You're honoring God. When you honor Pastor Matt, or when you honor me, or when you honor anybody who serves, really, to get a grip on it, you are honoring God. And God says, okay, that's your real attitude? I'm going to bless that. I'm going to bless that in ways you never even thought of. And we all benefit by that. We now simply pray and anticipate the continual flow forward of effective, servant-hearted, Spirit-led leaders. Let me say that again. This is our prayer from this moment forward. We pray and anticipate. If we ask God, we pray for it, we can anticipate this is what's going to happen. We anticipate the continual flow forward of effective, servant-hearted, Spirit-led leaders. That's a big deal. We re-identify goals as leaders of this fellowship. God would have us be faithful leaders. Simply want to say that faithful means you can be depended on. Ooh, that's all. You can be depended on. Not 100% of the time. We all have our times. But how many of you have experienced people who can almost be not dependent on 100% of the time? You can depend on that. You see how the enemy turns that over? If we don't have leaders who can be depended on, you can't pursue any goal at any time. You can't. Not very spiritual. Doesn't involve prayer language necessarily. It's a character of Christ. It's a character. Secondly, prayerful. Leaders pray for many reasons. But the root of most reasons is the awareness of our own inadequacy. Our leaders, the fellowship at our church fellowship, must not settle for what humans can create or produce. This fellowship does not draw from humanism, but rather we desire to draw from the source of everything good and great, the Spirit of the living God. I wish I could take time and talk to you about, in the 80s, some of the things I did at Calvary that were a fine mixture of hustle and bustle. and how we created things and did things in the name of church growth that weren't bad in and of himself. It's just that it wasn't drawn on the Lord. And that makes it bad. Thirdly, our fellowship leaders must be patient. Our joy as fellowship leaders must be found in doing his will, fulfilling his requests. The fruit of our spirit must always be left in the hands of the Spirit. Goals of the Spirit can never be achieved by efforts of anxiety driven by the flesh, Mark Haynes. That's me. I wrote that for myself. Well, sure, I want to be successful. In human sense, I have been. But I nearly ended my life driving myself in the flesh to make things happen that were supposed to be done in the Spirit. I'm too old for that and too smart. I don't want that anymore. We can't achieve in the flesh, no matter how fancy, eloquent, sophisticated, suave. We can't achieve in the flesh what God has for this fellowship in the Spirit. We have got to say, Lord God, we are inadequate without you. Our everything depends on you. We've got to find times to not talk about prayer alone, but to pray. And to be patient so that we know that our job is to do the will of the Father. To do the will of the Father and let the outcome be placed in his hands. That's a hard thing to do. All we have to do is know our responsibility and to do it. Some water, some plant, some water, and God gives the increase or whatever. And so that is obviously what we want. God has called us and every other Christian fellowship to be mighty, and to that end we pray, Lord, empower us. Our focus is not to be on numbers, but rather knowing as a fellowship that we are moving in his will. We're not focused on numbers, but I'm telling you what, if we're in his will, which is to be in his Spirit, things will happen. Oh, I don't believe that. No, it's true. It's true. Things happen where the Holy Spirit of God is. May not be when, how, who, what you think, but it will. I'm telling you that when we magnify the Holy Spirit and we give ourselves to the Holy Spirit, things will happen. So our focus is not on these empty seats. Our focus is on the Spirit of the living God. And I say at that point, then we just need to say, Father, we expect wonderful things to happen. I prayed this morning. I said, Lord God, help me be prepared for anything that might come my way. And the craziest service I've seen in a while. It's like, whoa! I prayed that prayer this morning. Lord, help me be prepared for anything that comes my way. You didn't spill those papers on intentional, did you? No. Just to throw me off. And finally, reproductive. And it goes on and on. Reproductive. If you, and I trust God is at work in your life as a leader. As a leader, we must always be open to the Spirit of the Lord that we can teach and give to others what we are, what we do, what we have. We always want to be reproducing ourselves. Well, does that apply to you, Mr. Pastor friend, who gets a salary? Yes. Yes. We want to have people able to come up to the front of this church and speak and preach and pray and minister multitude of people. Anytime a church is built on one personality, it is a weak church. That's the truth. It's not strong. You ought to see our preacher. He can walk. He can't walk on water. If he can, give me a call, would you? My people will talk to your people. A church built on one musician, one speaker, one anything, one somebody who has a lot of money. Hello? It doesn't matter whether you have little money or you have a lot of money. The power, the strength of the church is in the body. It is in the body. And we must always be in a position of reproduce. There's nothing. We started, three or four other churches out of Calvary and Great Falls. It was my heart's desire not to see how big we could get, but to plant. These mainline churches, they got it down. We charismatic people, we want everybody to come to where we're at. Mainline churches, they take their churches out to the neighborhoods. And they say, after you get to 300 people, we're dividing up, we're putting another one in. We charismatics, on the other hand, we want the biggest and the best, everybody to come here to hear one guy talk, one person sing, one whatever. I know you may quit the church. I hope not. Because that is not the will of the Lord. God would have us reproduce at every level we're doing. If we're a sound man, Taylor, he's reproducing in Rio right now so that he's freed up to do whatever, to go get my grandson and run him out of the building. You want to know what kills the church? Territorialism. This is mine. It's always been mine, or it's mine because I'm the best at it. That's not the Spirit of God. That's what kills churches, limits churches. We want to be reproducing at every level. I like what Paula, is that your name, Paula? I've only known you for 40 years. Did I marry you, didn't I? Yeah. Okay. I like what she said about going in the back there, and the ladies knew how to do everything, and they had everything. Paula was telling us, she said, there's one of the best churches for doing stuff in the back that she's ever. They're reproducing what they know in her, equipping her. That frees them up to do other wonderful things. Territorialism is not from the Spirit of God and must be eliminated. Say, Lord God, I don't know my gifting. Well, let's pray that God shows you. Let's pray that God puts you in a position of leadership. Leaders are not people who don't fail. Leaders are not people who don't fail. Usually they're people who fail and get back up and keep going and somehow have the courage to keep going. First time I spoke in college, I had a speech class for being a preacher or something.